The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We are just 2 weeks away from the 2025 election. Although it's not a midterm or a presidential election, there are some big elections this year, and we're going to be breaking down all of them because Republicans are making some huge gains. We also have some amazing redistricting going on in several states that have flipped blue seats to red seats, which we're going to get into a little bit later. We got to start with the Virginia race today, guys. Unfortunately, the governor and the lieutenant governor race are basically over at this point. Democrats are going to take those spots. It's not particularly surprising considering Virginia is a blue state, but it is disappointing because it's kind of trending purple. I just don't think Republicans ran the best people for this. The person running for governor is the current lieutenant governor, so it's not a horrible decision, but she's just not that inspiring. I'm talking about Earl Sears, and she's just not going to be able to pull it off. If you look at the polling, it might get a little closer, but it's not going to happen. Where things have gotten completely different, where they've completely changed, is when it comes to the attorney general's race. This is poly market right now. This is the betting market, and it shows kind of the chances of who's going to win the race. You can see that Jason Miaris, who is the incumbent Republican, was not winning for pretty much the whole time. He was behind Jay Jones, and then of course you can see in this graph that when they intersect is the moment that the whole scandal came out from Jay Jones, where he said that he basically wanted to off Republicans and their children. And since then, it has only gotten better for Jason Miaris, as it should, because apart from the scandal, he's just way better than Jay Jones. He's actually a really good attorney general. I've had the pleasure of meeting him in the past. Poly Market right now has him at about a 70% chance of winning this thing. So things have severely tightened there, and I think it's safe to say that Jason Miaris is going to win this thing. If you look at the most recent polling, we actually have a really detailed account. This isn't just simply, it's not a simple poll of just who, you know, is going to vote for who. We actually have a breakdown of demographics of who is voting for Miaris versus Jay Jones. And it's actually pretty surprising. It's not really what you would think. This is what it says. What you can see here, I want to skip the top part because the top part's really interesting, but I want to get to it last. If you skip that and go down, you can see Republican Democrat split is pretty obvious. 94% of Republicans are voting for Miaris, 85% for Jones. It's actually interesting. If you look, 11% of Democrats are undecided. So that number could actually swing quite a bit more for Miaris, which is good. That's like the 11% that have a heart who are out. And then there is actually 4% Democrat who have said they're voting for Miaris. So those are the people who don't want to vote for murderous people. It's sad that it's only like 15% of Democrats, but what can you expect? If you look at the female-male split, it's very predictable. You got about a 55% average split on either end. But the next part is where it gets really surprising. The group, in terms of age demographics, that is voting for Miaris, the Republican, more than anyone, is actually 18 to 34-year-olds, Gen Z. And that is not something I would have expected. They are voting in higher numbers even than 65+, though it's pretty close. The demographic that is voting more for Democrats are the 35 to 55-year-olds, and, you know, in other words, the millennials and Gen Xers, which is unfortunate. I think it's surprising that young people are going for Meares, but I think that's a good thing. The other splits are mostly unsurprising. I think the most surprising, if you look towards the bottom, is that 65% of Hispanics are voting for Meares. That is a higher number by 9% than white people. So that's quite surprising. I've said it on my show many times. If Republicans are good at reaching out to the Latino vote, they can make massive wins there. And Meares is proof of that. Now, let's go to the top. This is where things get really interesting. And this is where things could look a little bit bad for Meares. Fortunately, I think he has a big enough lead where it's not going to matter. But if you look, there is plan to vote and there is already voted. If you look at the already voted, 56% of people who have already voted voted for Jones. That's a problem. If you look at plan to vote, 47% to 39% are voting for Meares. In other words, people did early voting. There is early voting in Virginia. People did early voting. And those people voted before the big scandal came out for Jay Jones. Now that the scandal is out, it is very clear that Meares has the edge. And so that, I mean, that among many things is proof that this early voting nonsense, whether it's in person or through mail-in voting, is total crap. Because again, there are people out there who are probably looking at the vote saying, I really wish I could go back and not vote for Jay Jones, but it's too late. I didn't have that information before. And they voted, and it's too late now. So even withstanding that, I predict Meares will hold that seat, which is huge news for Virginia. The attorney general holds tremendous power. I think it will be an effective check to the Democrat governor, which I do believe is going to win. And again, in a blue state like Virginia, that is a solid pickup for Republicans. Speaking of Republican pickups in blue states, the New Jersey governor race has also tightened significantly. Right now, if you look at the most recent polling, you can see that Jack Chattarelli, who is the Republican, is leading, excuse me, not leading, but is increasing their deficit to Mikey Sherrill, 47% to 44%. That is within the margin of error. So we are looking at a dead heat in New Jersey, which is a blue state. I think a blue state that is starting to trend purple, just like Virginia, but it's very close. If you look at all the most recent polling, the momentum is with Chattarelli. Every poll that we are seeing right now shows him improving every single time. If you look from like 1 month ago, Chattarelli is down by 10%. Now we're seeing consistent polls that he's only down by 3%. That is huge momentum for him. Again, one of the challenges that Chattarelli has in New Jersey is that they do allow for the early in-person voting as well as the mail-in voting. And so there may be people finding out how horrible Mikey Sherrill is, but it's just too late because they've already voted for her. And that's just another reason why early voting is a total sham. We have to get rid of it. It is essential to voting integrity. Now, the last big election that Republicans are working on right now is obviously in New York. This is what we're seeing in New York right now. We can break down some of this numbers. The reason why I like to break it down is because these elections are won in the margins. If we look simply at who is, you know, where the polling is just on Republican versus Democrat, it doesn't tell the whole story. If we actually look at the demographics, it gets very interesting. Male to female, we're seeing a pretty big split. Female likes to go for the socialist, so Mamdani is leading 49%, whereas Andrew Cuomo, who is the independent, basically a Democrat, but, you know, not a socialist Democrat like Mamdani, is down to 34%, and Curtis Sliwa is at 15%, whereas those numbers are reversed for the male. If you look at native-born versus foreign-born, this is where it gets really interesting. Native-born wants to vote for Andrew Cuomo and Curtis Sliwa. So people who are actually born in the United States. Foreign-born, 62% of foreign-born want to vote for Mamdani. So if you look at the numbers right now, those are the people that are putting Mamdani over the top. Which, like, it's obvious, but it's crazy to me that we're just allowing all these people into our country, granting them citizenship, and then they vote for the socialists. And it's crazy that some of these people are even fleeing socialist nations and then voting in socialists like Mamdani. That dichotomy, we don't see that in polling very often, not because it doesn't exist, but because people aren't polling for that. Seeing the native-born versus foreign-born, fascinating. Mamdani literally has twice as much foreign-born support than native-born support. I find that fascinating. And then, of course, if you look down at religion, I find this fascinating as well. The Protestants are the people who are supporting Mamdani, which really surprises me. If you look right now, Catholics and Jews are the ones supporting Cuomo. Hands down, it's not even close. Twice as many Jews support Cuomo than Mamdani. Almost twice as many Catholics support Cuomo than Mamdani. Whereas 48% of Protestants are with Mamdani and 32% are with Cuomo. I find that fascinating as well. That brings up, guys, so if you look at the head-to-head polls, Zohran Mamdani kind of has it made. It's not even close right now. Right now, what we have is Zohran Mamdani with 43%, Andrew Cuomo with 32%, and Curtis Sliwa with 19%. An 11% lead. I mean, we got 2 weeks left until the elections. That's not going anywhere. And so that brings up the newest controversy here. People are calling on Sliwa, who is the Republican nominee, to join Cuomo, who is a quasi-independent, technically he's an independent, but let's be honest, he was the governor, the Democrat governor of New York. Cuomo, the name Cuomo, is a Democrat household name. I mean, this guy is not independent. He is a liberal, hands down, but people are calling on Sliwa to join Cuomo because as you can see from those numbers together, they actually might have the support to take down Mamdani. It's very close, depending on the poll. Some are above, some are less. This is from Matthew McDermott at the New York Post. He wrote an opinion piece that is going viral right now, and I actually think it sums it up really, really well. This is what he writes. He says, it burns to write this. But, and by the way, sorry, let me give a little background from Matthew McDermott. He's a Republican. He's a conservative. This is not coming from the point of view of a liberal. This is what he writes. It burns to write this, but it is time for Curtis Sliwa to face reality and admit that the city's best hope to avoid the disaster of a Zohran Mamdani mayoralty is for him to drop out of the race. Sliwa is absolutely right that it's not his fault that New York is in this corner, but fault isn't the issue here. The simple fact is that the Republican nominee is far back in the third place in every poll with zero chance of winning. Polls show Andrew Cuomo within spitting distance of Mamdani if Sliwa quits the race. If Curtis stays in and Andrew loses by a Sliwa length, then he will be blamed. Plenty of readers will erupt in fury at this, and we get it. No one will confuse this page or the post as a whole for Cuomo fans. That's not the issue either. In a dire situation, we've got to deal with the facts as they are, ugly as they are. Moving forward, and with no disrespect to Curtis Sliwa, if the Republican Party wants to be a viable alternative to the Democrats for citywide office, it has to do better. Sliwa has worked hard in this run, getting well briefed on all the issues, showing up every day all over the city, even setting aside his proud red beret, but he is an oddball. And this is something I've said for a long time. He is an oddball. With a sometimes shady past and zero experience relevant to running the behemoth that is city government, yet the GOP's county bosses lined up firmly behind Sliwa. If Republicans had come up with a more credible candidate with a second line, less eccentric than protect animals, we'd likely now be demanding that Cuomo drop out. That is absolutely right. This could have been totally reversed. It could have been Sliwa on top, Cuomo down, and then you go to Cuomo and you say, look, man, you're not going to win this thing. You got to join the Republicans on this one to take down Mamdani. Then Republicans have the power. But the problem is Curtis Sliwa, whether you like him or not, he does not have the support, which means he's not good enough. If you personally like him, that's cool. That's awesome. He did not speak to New Yorkers. He just doesn't have enough. And I think personally that there's enough good Republican New Yorkers that they could have come up with a better candidate. And if they had, then Cuomo again would be bowing down to Republicans and not the either way around. I've said it many times. But in politics, you can either be right or you can win. It seems right now, Republicans in New York would rather be right. And that's a problem. Make no mistake, Cuomo sucks. No one's saying he doesn't suck, but he is way better than Mamdani. I do not predict Sliwa will step aside, but I think he should. Now, in new redistricting news, guys, North Carolina has just approved a new map that gives Republicans yet another seat, maybe even two, depending on how the elections go. Here is what the map looks like. You can see here in the old map, there were just 13 districts. And in the new map, there are 14. And in this new map, you get a solid Republican flip from Democrats and even this kind of grayish blue that could be theoretically a second pickup for Republicans. This is the new map. If you look, these are kind of how they've changed the districts around, if you're curious. This is from 2022 to now. You can see in the Charlotte area, they've made some kind of weird shapes. That is what gerrymandering is. After all, of course, they're not going to argue that, but I have no problem saying that because that's what Democrats have done for years. I think Republicans should respond in kind. The Relay, I can't even say that name. I apologize for people in North Carolina. area has changed significantly. The Greensboro area has also changed to fragment much more. And then I can't even really tell what's changed in the Northeast North Carolina Congressional District. But suffice it to say, all of those things have changed considerably. Republicans have done a fantastic job to pick up those seats. So you can add this win, not just to the five congressional seats that Republicans took in Texas, but also to the one that they did in Missouri. North Carolina is not the only one, though. There are other states actively doing this right now, which is really good. Ohio is currently getting proposals for their new redistricting map. It hasn't gone into effect yet. Right now, they're split 10 Republicans to 5 Democrats in the House. It looks like, based on some of the new projections and the new maps that Republicans are proposing, they're going to pick up 2 to 3 seats, which is really fantastic. And by the way, you've got to remember that when you're picking up a seat from a Democrat, not only are you picking up a seat, but they are losing a seat. So we're looking at, so far, in, you know, set in stone, about 10 new seats flipped for Republicans just through the redistricting. I just have to say, in terms of strategy, by the way, this is long overdue. It really is. It is such a good strategy. I think if Republicans want a chance to win the midterms, this is one of the ways to do it. I love that Trump is heading this initiative. If you look at the most recent polling for 2026, in addition to the redistricting, it actually looks historically good for Republicans. Much better than, I mean, any other time that you can see from since maybe 2002. What you see is that Republicans are down 1% right now. And this is a poll from CNBC. It was Democrat plus 5 in August. Now it is Democrat plus 1, which is within the margin of error. So as far as we're concerned, Democrats and Republicans are in a dead heat right now. And if you look at the redistricting, if it ends up being a dead heat, Republicans win. Hands down. It's not even close. So time will tell if those numbers hold. But if they do, Republicans, which are the incumbent party, could win the midterms for the first time since 2002. Before we get back to the news, guys, the progressive left is a cult. And I talk all about that in my book, A New Cult. I talk about some crazy, crazy stories, talk about how the left has devolved into some nuts behavior, talk about a lot of things I can't talk about because big tech will censor me, but it's right there in the book. Go check it out right now. The link is in the description below. Donald Trump has a beef price problem here in America. He's kind of fixing it in the right way, but the messaging is just not good. And here's what's happening. Trump said that he wants to make a deal with Argentina to buy beef because our beef prices in America are very bad right now. They've gone up by like 17-18% just in the last 20 months. This is according to Forbes, referencing the beef prices and what Trump wants to do with Argentina. They said Trump made the comments after the U.S. announced a $40 billion economic assistance package for Argentina, including a $20 billion currency swap with Argentina's central bank that Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said was finalized Tuesday, plus another $20 billion in financing from private sector and sovereign wealth funds. So this has made some very angry because, again, you've got this $40 billion investment and then also the beef stuff because that's not set in stone yet. So you've got tons of money that the U.S. is wanting to invest in Argentina. The protectionists are already angry that we're giving Argentina so much money, but then buying the beef from then, you could be investing in Americans, right? Instead, what we're saying is we're going to invest in the Argentina cattle market, and that has made farmers and protectionists very upset. Trump was asked about this by a reporter. Here's what he said.
What do you have to say to U.S. farmers who feel that the deal is benefiting Argentina more than it is them,
Argentina's fighting for its life, young lady. You don't know anything about it. They're fighting for their life. Nothing's benefiting Argentina. They're fighting for their life. You understand what that means? They have no money. They have no anything. They're fighting so hard to survive. If I can help them survive in a free world, I happen to like the president of Argentina. I think he's trying to do the best he can. But don't make it sound like they're doing great. They are dying. All right? They're dying.
So not a great answer from the president, in my opinion, which sucks because, as I'll explain, I actually agree with him. I think this is a policy that he needs to make. I think that he is just all over the place on his messaging, though. And I'm not just talking about the beef prices. I'm talking about the tariffs. I'm talking about the protectionism. I'm talking about the free market stuff. Trump's whole thing now for months has been that he wants to protect American workers. It's all he talks about. It's kind of his new thing. He didn't really talk about, he talked about American workers, sure, but he didn't talk about them in terms and in context with the tariffs in term one. In term two, it's all about the tariffs. And that is why, and I've been critical of that, because I do not think that the tariffs are the way to actually historically bring back jobs. There's just no evidence that that's true. I've been critical because when you prioritize workers with tariffs, you end up hurting the consumer. And that's exactly what's happened with beef, by the way. It's gotten very expensive in part because of the tariffs. Now, Trump is reversing course, taking a much more free market approach on this, saying, look, we're going to get beef from the cheapest person regardless of where we get it from. And that's what Milton Friedman would say. That's what Thomas Sowell would say. That's what I say. Like, I just want cheap beef. I don't know what to tell you. You know, every single person in America buys beef. Every single person in America is a consumer. So if you make beef prices cheaper, you're helping every single person in America. The problem is, even though Trump is making the right call here, he is wildly inconsistent on this. He has made it clear that he wants to grow American industry, but he is investing in Argentine industry instead, which is what's making people angry. And then he says that Argentina is dying in this, but then that only enrages American farmers who feel like they're the ones dying, which I totally understand, by the way. I mean, if I was an American farmer, I would be upset about this. My point is simply that most Americans are not beef farmers. And so if Trump is looking at the American people and trying to do the most for the most amount of people, he's going to move forward with this policy, but not with the messaging that he's having. Then this is one of the fundamental problems with the Trump admin right now. They are stuck between free market economics and protectionism. The reason why they're stuck, I think Trump is more on the free market side personally, but the reason why they're stuck is because the cabinet is totally split. I mean, you've got J.D. Vance and, you know, I'm thinking Peter Navarro, Howard Lutnick, they're on one side. Then you've got Scott Bessent, who is really the voice of reason, and you've got other people who aren't necessarily involved in, you know, economic policy, like Marco Rubio, who are definitely more on the free market side. And Trump just can't decide which way he wants to go. By the way, the protectionists freaking out about Argentina feel kind of fake to me. And the reason why I say that is because Argentina is not even close to our biggest exporter of beef. If you look at this graph, you can see these are the U.S. beef imports by country. Australia is our number one by far. You've got Canada, Brazil, Mexico, New Zealand, Uruguay, Nicaragua. Argentina's number eight. So where was the fake outrage about the other countries? I'm just being honest, right? You've got Argentina that's going to, you know, we don't have the exact figures yet, but presumably going to go from eight to maybe seven or six of our largest beef importers. Where is the outrage about Australia and Canada? Like, this has been a problem for a long time. This has been going on for a long time. If you view beef being imported as a problem, I don't. But if you do, this is not a new thing. And so why would people just now be freaking out about it? I don't understand. It's made our beef cheap for a long time. A lot of people ask me why I don't like the tariffs on this because, and this is the reason why, fundamentally. There are 100 ways to be a worker. Yet there is only one way to be a consumer. And this is what I mean by that. You can go out and get all kinds of jobs. If you look at the beef industry in the United States, it would be unfortunate if all those people lost their jobs. But if they did today, there are 1,000 other jobs that they can go get. And it, you know, they're going to vary by degrees of difficulty to get those jobs. I'm not saying they can go get all of them equally, but there are other jobs that exist out there. From a consumer standpoint, there is one way to buy beef. Like, I can't buy beef another way. I can't buy something I need multiple ways. There's only one way to do it. And so I think that Trump is making the right call because he is protecting the only thing that we can do, which is buying beef. If, you know, if there was some magical other way to do it, then that would be fine to protect the worker over the consumer. There's not, though, which is why Trump should protect the consumer over the worker. I think Trump is making the right call, but with horrible messaging, that kind of inconsistency, even with good policy, is what could lose Republicans in 2026. We have got to stop supporting streaming networks that hate our guts. I'm talking about the big ones that have all kinds of woke nonsense. And we have to start supporting the ones that actually love our values. I'm talking about We the Free. We the Free has fantastic conservative movies, TV shows, Second Amendment content, political commentary, you name it, go check it out right now. The Josh Carr Show is on We The Free. They've got some really good stuff. The link is in the description below. Thank you so much for watching this episode, everybody. Please like the video so other great patriots will see it. Or if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please rate the show so other patriots will see it there. And you can tune in every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the live show, or you can watch another video right here.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.